Well, welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in our series we've been calling Guardrails. We've been looking at the Ten Commandments, studying our way through those as stated in Exodus chapter 20. And this Sunday, we looked at the Seventh Commandment, which states, "You shall not commit adultery," to be faithful to your spouse as you enter into the lifelong covenant of marriage. And I mentioned on Sunday, I'll mention now, you know, we know as we talk through this, this is an area of just a hurtful place, a lot of pain surrounding this. We've got folks who have committed adultery, folks who obviously have had adultery committed against them. And so we just kind of ask the questions, you know, is there hope for the adulterer? And we said, of course there is. There is forgiveness at the foot of the cross. We are righteous not because of our own good works, not because we've, you know, perfectly upheld the law. That's not true of any of us. And there's no sin that puts us beyond the ability of grace to forgive. And so we look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul talking to the Corinthians, and he specifically says that some of them were adulterers. And he says, you know, these sins keep you out of the kingdom of God. But then he says, right, he's saying that, you know, apart from Christ, and that it's our sin that keeps us outside of the kingdom. And yet he says, such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That we are forgiven because of what Jesus did. It's the great exchange. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And so we trust Jesus, we receive his forgiveness, his perfect life in our place, and he takes our sin and he nails it to the cross and leaves it there. And so, of course, there is hope for the adulterer. There's forgiveness at the foot of the cross. And then we ask the question, you know, is there hope for the person who's had adultery committed against them? And once again, we said, of course there is. It's so beautiful. The language of salvation in the Bible doesn't just speak of forgiveness, but also of healing. Isaiah 53 talks about, it's a prophecy about Jesus. And it says, right, by his wounds, right, upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And he was crushed for our iniquities. But he goes on to say that by his wounds, we are healed. Right? We're made well in the full sense of that term. And so, you know, part of it is understanding that we've all committed, no matter what sins have been committed against us, we have all committed one of the most consistent metaphors in the scriptures for our sin against God is that of spiritual adultery, that God is the groom and we the bride, and we've turned away from him in our sin, and yet he loves, yet he forgives, yet he is long-suffering and draws us back by his mercy and grace. And so, you know, part of the healing comes when we just receive the forgiveness of God in our lives and we dive into the gospel, and then we're enabled to forgive. As we experience grace in our own lives, we're able to forgive others, even of the most difficult and painful sins. But also knowing that just God is near. The Psalms tell us that God is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And so knowing that God knows exactly where we are, he knows what it feels like to be betrayed and have that trust broken, and yet he's able, he has the power to heal, to meet us in that place, and to bring us to a place of forgiveness, of healing, and health. And then we went to Matthew chapter 5, and we looked at how, you know, Jesus says, you've heard it said, right, you should not commit adultery, but I tell you, if you even lust after a woman, that you've committed adultery with her in your heart. And he's speaking, you know, primarily to men there, but certainly this would apply to both genders, that when we lust after another person, what we're doing is we're reducing them to an object just to satisfy our sexual desire. And he says that's adultery of the heart. And certainly that's not to say it's the exact same thing as if you went and committed adultery. No, that has much more devastating effects as far as in the family and in the home. But he says, right, if adultery is the fruit, it's like lust is the seed in a sense. That's the root. It's looking at someone and desiring them, knowing that's not what God has said. That person is an image bearer of God. And unless I'm married to them, we're not to go to that place. And he says, man, it's adultery of the heart. And so as we talked about that, we said, look, all of us are guilty of this. All of us, some of us are losing that battle right now. Some of us have lost that battle most likely at some point in time. And so one, we celebrated the gospel again, the forgiveness of Jesus, that he who knew no sin became sin for us. We look to him and say, oh Lord, thank you that in spite of my sin, right, you paid for that sin at the cross. And I am saved and I'm made righteous, made perfect in your sight because of what you've done. And then we talk specifically, and I would just say now, specifically to those of us who might be losing that battle right now and you feel like there's no way out, just that's not true. There is hope. There's power in the name of Jesus, by the Spirit of God. You can put to death the deeds of the body that you might live by the Spirit of God. He will equip you to do what God has commanded you to do. And there is absolutely, Jesus says, right, gouge out your eye if it causes you to sin. Cut off your hand if it causes you to sin. It's better to enter life maimed than to go into hell with your body completely whole. And what he's saying there is, guard your heart. The Proverbs tell us, guard your heart, from it flows everything else. So yes, there's practical things like, man, don't start that texting conversation. Don't watch that movie if you know it's going to trigger you in certain ways. Don't stay up late with the screen if you know that's a problem area for you. All those practical things. But also, some of us are caught in this. And we just need to start the process of confession and repentance and fixing our eyes on Jesus. And so I would encourage you, if you're in that place now and you just feel caught, if you're a guy, find a brother in Christ that you trust. And open up about that today, right? I'm going to give you a chance here to pray and confess that to the Lord now. He knows anyway, but come to him and confess it. But find a brother in Christ and confess and be healed. And if you're a woman, a lady, find a mature woman in Christ, a sister that you trust, and confess this and say, this is an area I'm struggling with and I'm losing this battle. And begin, we want to see you walking in the freedom that's been bought for you by Jesus Christ. So let me pray for you, and I'll give you an opportunity to pray for yourself. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for your love for us and your faithfulness to us. Thank you. There is hope, Father, for the adulterer, for the person who's committed adultery. That's not what defines them, Lord. We're defined by you. Thank you for the person who has had adultery committed against them, that there's healing in Christ. Thank you for all of us, Father, who have committed spiritual adultery against you, who have sinned against you, that there's forgiveness, there's healing at the foot of the cross. And God, I pray for any who are caught in that sin, caught in lust or sexual sin right now, Lord, that you would give them the courage and the ability to just to confess that to you, to reach out to others and to confess that and begin the process of healing and walking in the victory you've bought for them through your son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time now just to pray for yourself.